Morning, everyone. So this morning we're in Exodus 3, looking about this meeting between Moses and God. And I think I'm supposed to have a catchy title in his presence, how we did it, you know, a single word in this series that we've been doing. I haven't got a catchy title. Celia last week shared us the journey that we've been on in the last few months. And the only place I've landed is here, that God is waiting for us to see the burning bush. So I wonder, some of us have already done this. Josh, Danny, can I just invite you to take your shoes off? Is that right? Some of us it's a bit easier because we've got sandals on. But I just invite you to take your shoes off and just put your feet on the ground. Just going to do that. Myself. Thanks. So the word for this word this morning came from we have prayer points as a church that are emailed out, and they're kind of like a little bit of thoughts for the day or how to pray or just prompts during the week. And I had the great privilege of doing Holy Week before Easter. And you may not remember, but it's fine. But on the first day, I had the word was holy, and this is the passage that I chose. When I was writing those few words, I thought, I think there's a bit more for us here. And then shortly after that, Andy said, so we're doing this series in his presence, any volunteers? And God went, okay, you know you need to do this. So there we go, I did. So we're just going to go through the series. In the message on that day, I said that God met with Moses in his everyday. God wants to communicate. Moses notices. Moses looks for more. God responds to his looking. God calls him, and Moses wants to connect with God. And that's how we're just going to go through now. So God, I was thinking about this actually, probably ought to tell you a little bit. Moses, not going to assume that anyone knows anything about Moses, probably helpful place to start. Just a little bit of scene setting. The Israelites had become an oppressed people group, right? So they were slaves in Egypt, but actually the number, they were growing, and so the Egyptian leaders were like not happy with the situation because they were becoming quite unruly and potentially not going to be able to be being contained. So Pharaoh gave the order to give all a Hebrew boy should be killed. That's it. That's the rule. So the Israelites can't become bigger and stronger. So Moses was born after 3 months. His mother hid him in a watertight basket, put him on the River Nile, floated him close to the Pharaoh's palace. Wonder if she's that. Thinking, it's always interesting. I always think that question's interesting. Anyway, Pharaoh's daughter found him, and Moses was fostered into the royal palace of Egypt. When Moses was all grown up, he saw an injustice one day and kind of acted before he thought, perhaps, and killed a man, and then ended up having a bit of a death sentence on his head. So he had to flee and go to the land of Midian, which is basically in sort of western Saudi Arabia. So quite a long way away he journeyed. He got married, had a son, and then we don't really know much more until this passage today. So just that's the background if no one's been grown up in church and have that Moses childhood story. So, I'm supposed to do this, aren't I? Yeah, okie dokie. So God met Moses in his everyday. We start where Moses is at work, so he's tending the sheep. Horeb, just a little bit about where Moses met God. The word Horeb means kind of desolate, really describes the land that he was taking his sheep, goats in. Actually, did you see whose sheep they were? Actually, they weren't his sheep, they were his father-in-law's sheep. So this Moses that was princely in Egypt is now got a job sending sheep, but he doesn't even own the sheep. His father-in-law's sheep. He's come a long way, hasn't he? So many questions. Why did he go into the wilderness? Actually, was this routine? This is probably where they took the sheep every day. This is his job. This is what he does. This is normally his normal pattern. This is his every day. This is routine. Did he just find himself at the mountain of God? Or was there God sort of vaguely calling him? I don't know. Doesn't tell us. Maybe, maybe not. But actually, if this was his every day, if this was his going to work, I think it probably was just that. Just the mundane. And that's where God met Moses, in the everyday. Not in the church, not in the place where he worshipped, not at home, just in the everyday. That's where he met him. Just a short aside, I wonder about the place that Moses met God. It tells us that he was in the wilderness. And just God wanted to just ask this morning, are we in the wilderness? Are we as a church a bit in the wilderness? Are we as individuals a bit in the wilderness? And if we are, then we just need to hear this, that God can meet us where we are. In verse 2, God wants to communicate. The angel of the Lord is appearing as fire. So God was ready, waiting to speak to Moses. He was already there. Intriguingly, there's this odd change where it says the angel of the Lord, and then when God speaks, it's God speaking in the first person. So there's something around, was it an angel of the Lord? Was it God? Well, at some point something changed, but God was definitely present in the burning bush. God was there wanting to communicate. And then there's this thing that Moses notices. You might think, well, it's a burning bush. Of course he notices. But actually, probably in a really dry, barren land, burning bushes were not an uncommon thing. This thorny bush, not an uncommon thing in a desolate place. But it was there and it was sustained burning. So just remember our chemistry. What do we need for us? What do we need for a flame? We need oxygen. We need heat. We need fuel, right? Well, once the fuel's burnt up, what happens to the flame? It goes out. But that wasn't happening. This wasn't chemistry figuring itself out. For fire to be effective, it needs to consume the fuel, the bush. But here it doesn't. So I had a lovely time listening to Danny read to me in Hebrew this week, can I just say? And in the Hebrew, it describes that the bush was burning, but not eaten up. I just thought it was such a beautiful picture. I read some stuff. Actually, was this a sign of the inner turmoil that the Israelites were going through? Actually, they were feeling like they were being burnt up, but actually, God was still present with them. And so they were not consumed. Maybe there's something in that. What about us? What about us as a church? What about us as individuals? Are we in that place where we feel like we're being consumed? Or are we in a fire, but actually we know that God is with us? And if we're feeling a bit consumed, let me just remind you that God is with us. I was thinking it was brought to mind a story in Daniel of some men of God. Do you remember that story who refused to bow down to the massive idols of King Nebuchadnezzar? And these three men were tied up and thrown into a blazing furnace. Let me just read when I've opened my Bible to the passage. So Daniel 3, it says, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisor, weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown in the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Another in the fire of whatever we're going through as a church and as individuals. Somebody, I had this thought about God as a consuming fire, because that's another picture in the Bible. I haven't quite landed with that, so maybe that's a thought for another day. But just, I don't quite know how that fits. But I just thought, I just want to just say I had wondered about it. Whatever it was, this bush was extraordinary. And it grabbed Moses' attention. And it grabbed his attention, so he looked for more. Moses made a decision to go over and look. In verse 4, in some versions, it talks about Moses turning aside. I don't, what does that mean? He'd gone over, he went over. He did something else out of the ordinary. He did something, he put aside what he was supposed to be doing and did something else. He paid attention. What about us in the routine of our lives? What about those moments where actually we see something of a burning bush, something of God waiting to speak to us? Do we pause? Do we make space? Do we make room in our everyday? I wonder what that might look like for us. I think it's really important to note that God was present. God was there. But he didn't talk until Moses looked over, till Moses noticed, till Moses paid attention, and then Moses went over. And that is when God spoke. Why did that happen? Not really sure, to be honest. God just spoke to Abraham and Isaac, and why was it different with Moses? Maybe it was a test. Maybe it was because Moses had been in a spiritual desert place. I don't know, whichever it is. Actually, I'm not sure it matters. Just goes to choose that so show that sometimes God will speak, but he sometimes will wait for us to have our attention before he then speaks. And just encourage us all this morning that actually, maybe there's something that God wants to say and we need to sit up and take notice. We need to look and then he will speak. God responds to Moses looking, and this is a very personal thing because God knew Moses by name as well as he knows us by name. Moses, Moses. There's a quickness to how he speaks. And Moses replies, here I am. Moses wants to connect with God. In the Hebrew, it talks of holy ground or holy soil. There's a very great earthiness to this thing. In the culture, as you may know, actually taking off your shoes was a sign of respect. But actually, just remember, the poorest in the culture wouldn't even have any shoes on their feet in the first place. So actually, there's something incredibly humble about this. And for those of you that have taken your shoes off, what does the carpet feel like? Feels quite comfy, doesn't it, really? It feels quite nice, doesn't it, under our feet. Just picture the scene of a desert, desolate place where Moses was, hard ground, rocky, uncomfortable on the feet, thanks very much. Really wouldn't have been a pleasant thing. Sometimes when we're needing to be humble, I think it doesn't feel very comfortable at all. I just wonder what that might look like for us. What do we need to do to take our shoes off and stand on holy soil in our everyday? Notice in verse 6 how God introduces himself. God is so loving and kind. Actually, he reminds Moses of his covenant relationship with him. He reminds him, Moses, of his heritage that he's come from. He reminds him of the connection that God has always had with Moses. And so I was left wondering, what is the point of the burning bush encounter? What is the point? And I just felt like we need to go back to chapter 2 a little bit. In chapter 2, Moses saw an Egyptian beat a Hebrew slave, one of his own kind. And he knew that that wasn't right. He felt the injustice of that. Moses already had that sense of injustice. Think we can all probably agree he kind of cocked up in the way perhaps he demonstrated that injustice and did something about it by killing someone, probably not the wisest thing, but he still had the sense of injustice. And in chapter 2 there's a couple of other instances as well. There were two Hebrews fighting, and again Moses went in and tried to step in to say in verse 13 to try and protect one another. So there's something in Moses' heart about injustice, about something that's not right and wanting to make it right. And when he's fleed, he's gone to Midian and he's out there, and actually he comes to the rescue of some women in a foreign land that he wouldn't have had his remit to do anything about, but still some other shepherds come up that he doesn't know, and he wants again to kind of rectify that injustice and allows these women to come and let their sheep be watered. This is decades before this moment. But I just wonder, what if Moses already had this on his heart? God had already placed these things around injustice on his heart. And Moses went, do you know what? There's a second chance. There's always a second chance. You may have cocked up the first time, but there's always a second chance. And in the burning bush, what if this was Moses' second chance to say, and God, at the end of chapter 2, it tells us that God's heart is for righting injustices. And it talks about he heard the cries of the Israelites, and he heard them and did something about it. And the thing he did was to go, right, Moses, come on then, you're going to come and do something about this with me. Join in with me. After the passage that we've read, the next few verses bring us through God and Moses' dialogue. The description's very clear, the suffering, affliction, tyranny, distress of the Israelites. And Moses is busy going, no, you got the wrong man, who am I to do this, can't do this, you know, you need to, I'm not good enough. And what's God's answer in that? I'm with you. Actually, it's that straightforward. And I am with you, and that's enough. So what about us? I just really felt God was asking us, what are those things in our heart that are chiming with God's sense of justice, God's sense of kingdom? What are those things that God's already put on our hearts and we don't quite know what to do about it? Maybe this morning the burning bush is saying, Joe, you tried something and actually didn't quite work out at work. You wanted to right an injustice at work or at home or at school or wherever you are. Actually, there's always a second chance. And actually join in with me. Join in with me, my heart, my love, my wanting to right things. And maybe there's something that needs healing or wholeness. And maybe we've tried it. We got it wrong, just like Moses did. But there's always a fresh opportunity to join in with God. God is waiting for us to see the burning bush. Can I just pray? God, we do thank you that you are all love. We thank you that your heart is for righting injustices, as we've read this morning. We thank you that you wait for us sometimes to be ready to join in with you. We thank you that you are a God of second chances. We thank you that you are a God of fresh opportunities. And God, we pray that in the middle of our everyday, not just today, but in the middle of our everyday, that we would be willing to see you, notice you, and be willing to draw near. And Lord, as a church and as individuals, God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts those things that are on your heart. And I would pray that you would stir us into action for those injustices that we see because you've given us eyes to see them. In Jesus' name, amen.